2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back in. KSL's Unrivaled. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte from Cougar Sports Saturday filling in for Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. Appreciate those guys giving us the chance to step in on this Monday evening. We're watching some Monday Night Football. Eagles and Seahawks in action. Alex's Seattle Seahawks up right now on the Eagles, who have just been a mess. Carson Wentz, I don't know how he's still the starting quarterback for Philadelphia. It feels like Doug Peterson just keeps clinging on to Carson Wentz because he's the guy that he's linked to, and his success hinges on Wentz. I don't get it. Seahawks right now up 14-9 on the Eagles. We'll keep checking in on that game. I also don't understand what's going on with Utah State football this season. It's been a mess up in the Cache Valley. And to talk more about the Aggies, the NFL, locals in the NFL, joined now by KSL 5 TV's Jeremiah Jensen at JJ Sportsbeat on Twitter. Jeremiah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. And you want to know why Carson Wentz is still the starter in Philadelphia?
Why is he that?
Money.
Yeah.
How much money are they paying him? The Eagles want to get something back for their investment. They also, you know, picked him pretty high in the draft, right? So
number two.
There you go. So that's all you need to know about why he's getting a longer leash than most quarterbacks in the NFL.
Isn't that so frustrating in the NFL? Like, it's sometimes great for our locals in the NFL. We like seeing those guys get the chance. But the money trail always ultimately determines who plays or their draft stock. It's like, just play the best 11 on the field. I've never understood that. Like, money be danged. Like, just play the best guys. I don't get it.
You don't think there's politics in the NFL either?
I know, but it's just like there's 53 guys on a roster. They're giving it their all to compete, and you're hitching your wagon to a quarterback that is failing. It just never makes sense.
The NFL is no different than how the rest of the world works, unfortunately.
Sadly, I agree, JJ, but you make the big bucks. You got to give us some answers on
Utah. Is that how this is? Oh, so the expectations are so high because I make so much money, which is not true, by the way.
Well,
so you're putting a lot of pressure on me, even though that pressure is not justified.
JJ, we want to get some updates from Utah State with you because, you know, the Aggies. Today, there's a story up on KSLSports.com right now. One of their top running backs, Jaylen Warren, entering the transfer portal. This coming after a weekend where they had a win. The Aggies actually got a win, the first one under interim head coach Frank Miley. What's going on with Utah State? Is it bottoming out even farther?
Well, I mean, it's kind of strange. We're talking about all these things after they got a nice win.
Right.
And their quarterback showed a lot of potential. I thought Peasley was great. Look, you have to take it for a grain of salt, though. They're playing New Mexico. New Mexico is one of the worst teams in the country. But you know what? If you're a Utah State fan, if you're Utah State players and coaches, you take a win how you can get it. But look, clearly there's some issues going on in Logan. The Gary Anderson era, the second era, I should say, was a disaster, to be blunt. And we're seeing the fallout right now. And this is what happens everywhere when coaches are changed, right? So it's just weird because it's mid-season. So you look at a lot of coaching changes throughout the country, even here locally, BYU, Utah, whatever it is, you're going to see a lot of turnover, players transferring, leaving the program. A lot of times they come into a program because of a certain coach that recruited them or the head coach. So it's just weird and blunt seeing it happen mid-season. Now, clearly there's some issues there. I'm not privy to all of them. There was a little bit that came out with Jason Shelley's departure. Frank Miley said that he didn't do anything. He's a great young man. He didn't break any rules. He didn't do anything illegal. It just sounds like there was just a difference in where they wanted to go with the program, and he decided to that he was going to tell them to go find another opportunity, I guess. So, but it's just, I think if this was happening in January, it wouldn't be as alarming.
Yeah.
It's more alarming because it's happening, and obviously this weird year is just weird. It's happening mid-season, so that's why it's so stark. I don't think there's anything too crazy and wild here, but clearly there is a lot of work to be done up in Logan to get that program back to where they were just 2 years ago, winning 11 games and being nationally ranked.
What direction do you think they should go with that head coach position? It's still open. The search is still going on. John Hartwell, the AD, wants to have a national search. Do you think they should go with kind of a young, up-and-coming guy, or should they have like a flashy name that's well-known in college football circles that's maybe a little bit of a retread, if you will? What direction would you say they should
go? Well, hopefully they learn the lesson, because they just took door number two that you mentioned with Gary Anderson, and it was, I mean, I'm going to be blunt, that was a booster hire.
Yeah.
And they wanted to revisit the glory years that Gary had when he was there the first time, and this was not the same Gary Anderson as far as a coach goes. And, you know, it didn't go well. So, yes, look for a young, up-and-coming coach. Look, I've been saying it publicly when asked. I think Jay Hill would be a home run hire for the Utah State Aggies. Now, does Jay want to leave Weber State, where he's built a great program? I feel like Jay wants to see that out. I think he wants to try to win an FCS championship, but I think it would be pretty hard for him to pass up an FBS coaching opportunity where he doesn't have to move. So that would be really tempting. So I think Jay Hill is the perfect coach for what Utah State is looking for. The way things have gone the last year and a half, they need a program builder again to come in there and build something new and fresh and energize that program and put a lot of this negativity that's happened in the last few months behind them. And I think that Jay Hill would be very capable of doing that. And Jay Hill still, you know, obviously he's got a lot of experience now, but still, as far as coaches go relative to other coaches, young, up-and-coming, ambitious coach that can go in there and get the job done the right way.
JJ, Utah's 0-2, first time since 2007. Where do you think it's gone wrong for them up to this point, and what can they fix to get a win against Oregon State?
Turnovers. They turn the ball over so much in these first two games. What was it, 6 in the first game against USC? Yeah. And then the turnovers against Washington were just absolute killers. And so if you're Utah and you're looking at why did we not compete better against USC? Why were we put in all these tough situations? And then against Washington, why did things collapse in the second half? Well, you can't fumble the ball at the 20-yard line. You can't throw interceptions at key moments of the game. And that's what happened to Utah against Washington. So I know the quarterback is a grad transfer senior, but everybody around him is young. Ty Jordan, freshman, made a freshman mistake, but he's also showing a lot of potential. You go on the defensive side of the ball, and you see how that defense performed in the first half, shutting out Washington. And then obviously they got a lot of things to learn about playing 60 minutes instead of just 30. So you can go around and you can see there's so many positive things that Utah did in these first two games, but it's not enough to win games yet, and that's showing their youth. And I think if you're a Utah fan, you're kind of you want to be critical and frustrated that you're losing, but then again, you're seeing all these great young players that are getting experience. And so I guess if you're going to have a down year like this and you're going to make these mistakes, have it be in a year where COVID-19 has already ravaged your season anyway.
Yeah, it kind of is, honestly, it is the perfect situation for Utah to have a down year because, what, a 5-game season? Like, it really, in the grand scheme of things. And
well, down to 4 now, right? I mean, they can only have – after Oregon State, they have 2 road games left, and then they're done.
It's so bizarre. It just doesn't make sense. Talk with Jeremiah Jensen here for a few more moments from KSL 5 TV. Our poll of the question tonight, JJ, I want to get your thoughts on this. How would you grade Taysom Hill, going back to the NFL, how would you grade Taysom Hill's first two starts as an NFL starting quarterback? Matt and I have kind of had mixed opinions here tonight. How would you say? Would you give it an A, B, C, or a fail? What would you say?
I'll give you 2 grades, because I thought the first game, I would give him an A-. I thought he was terrific. I probably would have gave him an A if he didn't fumble on that long run.
Yeah.
I thought he was, you know, first start, look, you know, you're playing against a team you should have blown out anyway, but I thought he was really solid. I thought he threw the ball really well. I didn't throw the ball as well on Sunday against the Broncos. Yes, that was a weird game, but I probably got to go C+, because I felt like he could have done a lot more in the pass game and didn't. Look, he ran for 50 yards. I you're going to expect that from him. But in order for him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, I think he's got to be better throwing the football. He was great throwing the football in the first game, not as good in the second game. So that's how I would grade him out in those two games. And I imagine that he would probably agree, and he wants to do, was he 7 of 16 in that game? I mean, that's not, that's, I don't think that's where he wants to be as an NFL quarterback. And so I think he would probably wouldn't mind giving himself that grade either. And I think you're going to see him improve in that area in the next week or so.
Well, JJ, before we get out, what's on tap tonight for on Sportsbeat?
Well, Dennis Lindsay spoke today as the Jazz begin training camp. His thoughts on why they brought back Derek Favors and just how many teams out there wanted Jordan Clarkson. Mitch, you guys are both Laker fans. You know Jordan Clarkson, so you know how much of a demand there may have been for him. So we'll find out just how much come on up tonight at 10.
Well, thanks as always, JJ. We appreciate it. Crazy to think we're 2 weeks away till NBA preseason getting
it's
going.
It's
crazy times in 2020, I tell you, but we always appreciate you. JJ, have a great time tonight on Sports Beat. We've got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to an NFL roundup. This is KSL Unrivaled, powered by KSL Sports.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.